When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Every Thursday at this time, our Falcons insider, Smokin' Joe Patrick, joins us. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. Looking forward to what is really like a must-win game, honestly. It's not technically a must-win, right, but it really feels like a must-win, especially with the quarterback they're going to be going up against.
That's most likely. Right. That's a great place to start this conversation. It's like, how crazy is it that that's where we've got to this season, where the level of importance on this football game between the Falcons and the Raiders on that football is where it is. I think that speaks to everything that's going on right now.
Yeah, no kidding. And, something that Arthur Smith, former Falcons coach, would always say is that the NFL is just the best reality TV show going right now. And that really feels true this week for the Falcons going up potentially against Desmond Ridder. Aiden O'Connell did get a little bit of practice in yesterday. That injury that he suffered against the Bucs on Sunday wasn't nearly as bad as they feared, but still the reporters from Vegas seem to think that it's going to be Desmond Ridder who's more likely to make the start. And so what a funny world it is, and certainly kind of brings to full circle a lot of the things that have happened with this Falcons team, and obviously the way that they've managed the quarterback room, which is now its own controversy even without Desmond Ridder, because of Kirk Cousins' kind of historic struggles, really, if you take into account just how bad he's been statistically over these last 4 weeks or so. So much riding on this, outside of just the fact that you need to win this game most likely to kind of give yourself a chance of making the playoffs. So much more on the line for even just like the narratives around Terry Fontenot, you know, the front office, all of that stuff, and for Desmond Ridder, for his own narrative, you know. So it should be interesting to see how it turns out in a game that, yeah, probably not a lot of other people care about around the country, or the Falcons and Raiders on a Monday night game, but I think it's certainly going to be very interesting to us here in the local area.
Real quick, you mentioned Arthur Smith. I did see he was asked as a notable UNC alum about Bill Belichick. And in like proper Arthur Smith fashion, fired up. He just said fired up.
Fired up.
Joe, I was having this discussion with Bunk earlier, and we maybe stood a little bit apart, and I wanted to see where you stand on this. What exactly do you think is leading to specifically the turnovers, the interceptions from Kirk Cousins? I think there's a lack of trust on a lot of different levels. Bunk, you mentioned maybe there's something physically going on. Yeah. Where might you fall?
Abe's a bit more in the mental camp. I'm a bit more in the physical camp.
I think I'm more in the mental camp. I think I'm more with Abe. I don't, and that's not to say, I think there's obviously a little bit of both, right? Like, but I'm going to say I'm more in the mental camp. But I will say, and the physical might lead to the mental to some extent.
Yeah.
Because
it might be both.
Right, because you know, I think he clearly has physical limitations at this point, and that is one of the reasons why he's in the pistol and shotgun so much, and he's not able to do some of the things that he's been able to do in his career in terms of playing under center, the play-action game. He does not have a play-action passing touchdown pass so far this year, and that was always his bread and butter. And so I think that when you take that, I think that that then like kind of forces him into some new things this year with different footwork in the pocket, in that, you know, in that pistol or shotgun formation, which is, of course, are not like novelties to him, but he clearly has not done as many things as he's being asked to out of those formations and sets as he is this year. And so You know, I'm with you, Abe. That I just feel like he talked about this after he had that 500-yard passing game on Thursday night against the Buccaneers, where he said that was the first time I felt like this season where I was just throwing to areas, I was throwing to spots, knowing that my receivers were going to be there by the time the ball arrived. And it feels like that has kind of worn off. Like, I don't know another way to say it, but it's like we're not seeing that anymore. It feels like he's just a tick slow in getting the ball to the receiver sometimes. Not every time, but sometimes. And sometimes when you're a tick slow, sometimes it's more than a tick slow, and that's what's leading to some of these really egregious interceptions that he's thrown here of these last 4 weeks. And so I think these things go together, but I think that ultimately when you're looking at the stats and the production or the lack thereof that he's put up, I kind of put it into just the mental, the bad decisions that he's made.
Yeah, I mean, look, the difference between a completion and an interception in the NFL is such a split-second razor-thin margin that it could easily be either one. It could be a combination of both. It could be neither. I don't know. It could be bad luck. I have no idea. But like,
and I want to put can I just put this forward really quick too, which is that, like, you know, obviously in totality the numbers are really bad for Kirk Cousins, you know, especially in these last 4 weeks. But he's a quarterback who he's kind of like, he's never been like an A plus dynamite quarterback, but he's this kind of just B plus every time, right? Like B exactly. plus decision, B plus, you know. And this year, what's different is that he's sprinkling in these F's. He leads the league in turnover-worthy plays. He leads the league in interceptions. And so when you have that many of those just like egregiously bad plays, it becomes untenable no matter how many of the other, you know, many other good plays you have, just because, like Raheem Morris said this morning, it's really the turnovers that kill you in the NFL. Arthur Smith said it last year too. And so that's ultimately what's leading to this team's downfall right now.
And that's a good way to put it, but I would take it one step further with the, like, he was a B plus. He had to do everything he possibly could physically and mentally and from a preparation standpoint, all of that stuff, just to be a B plus. So when things regress physically or meant whatever, then you know, in order to be that, in order to be that, he had to do so much, which this is not a criticism.
Right.
He's had an incredible career. He's made a ton of money, won a lot of games, thrown a lot of touchdowns and all that kind of stuff. But just at some point when everything has to come together physically, mentally, and otherwise in order to get even to that level, one of those things deteriorates, you know, it's a slippery slope.
I mean, to the point that you say, it was like he's been a guy who's been known really throughout the league. It's not even just, you know, himself. It's like guys know this about him, that he has maybe gotten more out of him, out of his ability and his natural talents more than anybody in the NFL.
He would probably say that himself. Like, he would probably tell you.
Yeah. He talks about it. He said he never thought he was going to, like, he thought he was going to get benched in high school and never play again. And he just kind of keeps surprising himself. But, and you do wonder if that is kind of how you've kind of made your bread over the years. When you do have a catastrophic injury, you know, how much do you have left to work with? Even if some of that comes back, like, we've talked about kind of like the Bragg-Zan correlation of him having that Achilles and him kind of being better in his second year. But ultimately, like, the Falcons don't have that kind of time, and they already have his successor.
No.
So, in that case, like, I don't know if you have enough time to, like, really just kind of wait and see what his Achilles and what his physical gifts eventually evolve into in this kind of post-Achilles injury era that he's in now of his career.
Do you think Zach Robinson feels the entire playbook's open to him with some of the decisions and mistakes that Kirk Cousins is making right now? And if not, what can be done from the offensive play caller's standpoint to protect the Falcons in key moments that where they can get points on the board in one way or another?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it kind of ties into all this that we've been talking about. Because I don't think that Zach Robinson feels like he can just kind of call, I don't want to say any play in the playbook, but like I think clearly since Kirk Cousins has come to Atlanta, they have devised an offensive system that is going to, you know, hide his physical limitations as much as possible. And that's what's led them into all these, you know, the pistol and shotgun stuff that we always talk about. So in that respect, I don't think they can. Like, I don't think that this team they cannot really put Kirk Cousins under center and have him run play action wide zone. That's just, it's too, you know, dynamic and explosive of a movement that the quarterback has to make on that I don't think that they feel comfortable with. They have been doing, the play action stuff that they have been doing has been very rarely under center. Although I will say, when he started to get under center, better earlier on in the season. That was around that kind of Buccaneers time. Right. The Chiefs, they started to do it. It felt like the team was flowing a little bit more offensively at that point. But I don't think that they're willing to do that. A lot of this play action stuff has been from that pistol look with, like, kind of inside, you know, run play action. So he doesn't really have to move so much. And, like, bootleg stuff obviously is out of the question. So I do think that Zach Robinson is a little bit limited. They're trying to mix in some screens and some things to throw teams off. But I do think it is a challenge for this team right now and how they kind of bust out of this funk.
I guess they couldn't have known that, but it is frustrating to sign a guy for that much money and then have to hamstring your play calling because of what he's physically able to do or not physically able to do. Smoking Joe Patrick joins us here talking Falcons. Let's talk a few other things beyond Kirk Cousins here. What was going on with the secondary last week and their inability to track the ball in the air? Like, I'd never seen these guys have that happen to them before. That was wild.
Yeah, that was ugly. We were just talking to Jesse Bates about that himself, and he kind of put his hand up and saying that he could have done better in certain situations, but obviously it was some of the other guys who were some of the more egregious offenders there. And, you know, that's just rough to see. And I think part of it is that's kind of the risk that you run. That's what comes with the territory when you start to bring the blitz more, which fans have obviously been calling for, and it was working. And some of those plays, one of the bad ones that, you know, Herd the Alford was one where, you know, the defense kind of gets there on the rush, but Darnold is able to escape the sack, and then, you know, the Alford kind of loses where he is on the field and falls down and all that. So, you know, if the rush gets there, then that's looking like a great play, you know, but that's just a risk you run. Sure. I think that they have started to gamble a little bit more in that, to that extent, but I keep coming back to this whenever I talk about the Falcons, but
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, they're giving up a league worst 72% completion percentage. And I don't care if it's over the top or underneath. When you're allowing that many completions, it's just going to be hard to stop teams from driving down the field on you, you know, because of yards. This team needs to create more negative and zero yardage plays against their opponents, and that's starting to show up in the run game. I think the run defense has been really good. Grady was talking about how they're very happy about that, but in the passing game, it's just been bad. And when they want to get riskier, you know, to create some of those plays, they've been getting burned over the top. When they've been protecting themselves over the top, they just get dinked and dunked underneath. And so ultimately, I think that that's partly just a personnel issue. You just don't have the caliber of players that you need in coverage on that side of the ball. And I think it's something that Terry Fontenot is going to have to look at and address in this coming offseason, where there's not going to be as much room for them to maneuver with limited cap space that they've got now.
They're not going to lose to Desmond Ridder on Monday Night Football, are they? Like, that's not.
Well, you never say never, but
that's not going to happen.
I mean, I feel like even the players have to have maybe some extra motivation in this game. Of course, they'll never say that because they take every game 100% as possible. Right, right. But you have to think that it would be kind of embarrassing for all of them if that were to happen. So let's hope that doesn't happen.
Let's hope. Good Lord.
Didn't the team lose a quarterback like to a game last year where they threw like four times? And I know it was weather-based.
Who?
Wasn't that like, didn't Mac Jones win a game last year where he threw like four times?
Well, the Falcons lost to Josh Dobbs last year. I mean, they got signed on Thursday.
The Bryce Young game on that Carolina and the downpour, there were not many passes in that game, but
we don't
more than four.
Yeah, we don't have to go down that path. Hopefully, we don't have to go down that path. The dark history of losses. All right, Joe, we appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Smoking Joe Patrick there, 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Falcons reporter. Great stuff from him as always.